Welcome to What to Do to Achieve Success in Internet Marketing with Tony Lee Adamson and Bobby Brooks of MediaForWomen.com. My name is Heidi Richards-Mooney, and I am your hostess today. So, do you think that at this point in time you would be more successful in your internet business than when you first started? If so, you're in the right place. Online marketing can be extremely frustrating for a business if there is no plan in place to implement your online marketing and follow-up. Besides using the standard Google Analytics, companies today that are building online marketing programs must develop more diverse tools for measurement and analysis. In this session, Bobby and Tony Lee will talk about the importance of understanding analytics and how they can help you achieve your internet marketing goals, share the best free ways to market on the internet, how to get more traffic to your site without spending a fortune, how to capitalize on social media following, and much more. But first, let me tell you a little bit about them. Bobby Brooks is co-founder and CEO of Media for Women Enterprises, a California corporation uniquely designed to promote businesses and organizations through strategic marketing and media development. With years of leadership and management experience, Bobby has applied her training and education along with a personal desire to help others to launch up several fast-growing companies positioned for success, including Media Enterprises and Everything for Women. Our other guest, Tony Adamson, is co-founder and COO of Media for Women Enterprises, also a California corporation uniquely designed to promote businesses and organizations through strategic marketing and media development. Tony Lee's experience and training in leadership management, operations, and technology completes an unparalleled package of services available through Media for Women Enterprises. Tony Lee's experience goes beyond her current executive positions to speaking to women all over the world, as her desire is to empower and inspire women to achieve more in life. They are both authors, speakers, radio hosts, and frequent guests on television interviews. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and I'm going to pretty much let you ladies decide who's going to answer the questions, and I'm just going to ask them. Is that okay?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Fantastic. So let's talk about internet marketing in general. For those who don't fully understand it, what is it and why do we need it?
Well, this is Bobby, and I'll start off with that question. Internet marketing, for lack of a better term, is just where we can promote our businesses online through the internet, so to speak, but that involves pretty much every opportunity that we can advertise, market, promote our services, our products, our businesses, whatever it may be, through the world of online media. And, you know, it's something that through the years has changed because of social media, obviously, that's come out in the last few years, really with the bang. But the heart of internet marketing is just using the internet effectively, efficiently, and economically to our benefit.
Excellent. And great description of internet marketing in general. So say I'm a complete newbie at internet marketing. I don't have a product, but I'd really like to learn how to market and make money on the internet. Where would you suggest I start?
Well, you can start a couple of ways. You can do a website. I mean, when we talk about marketing online, one of the first things that we try to educate people on is think about a store if you go into the mall or you buy from any store that's a physical location. Well, think about that store online. Well, that is what we call a website for the most part. Some people call them e-commerce sites or online stores, whatever. But we kind of like to keep it simple and say, imagine your store as your website. So that website is now the face of your store. So if you don't have anything to sell, you can still put up a very inexpensive, nice website to start talking about. Maybe if you just have a message or you'd like to write a book or whatever it may be, you can do that today with blog sites. A lot of times people want to get to know who you are before they're even going to buy from you anyway. So that's one of the first steps I would do. If you don't have a product, and you would like to start selling something. Put that website together and start selling somebody else's product. And we call that, and it's pretty common today, affiliate marketing. And affiliate marketing has become very popular because you can sign up with affiliate companies and directories that literally you can sell pretty much anything and you make a commission on whatever you sell for their service or product. And you can actually put their banners or their links right on your website and get paid for it. So that's a great place to start. It doesn't cost much money, and you could be making money literally within a few days.
And that's so true. So you suggest that they get online by starting either a blog site or a very simple website and start just letting people know a little bit about them and then developing an affiliate, a way to sell other people's products. I think those are excellent ideas. So then, Bobby, what in your opinion is the best free way to market on the Internet?
Well, there's a lot of great ways that are free. For one thing, you can do certainly with social media. I mean, that's kind of the buzzword today, obviously. And we encourage all of our clients and businesses that we know. So you want to definitely have a fan page on Facebook, not just a personal page, but a fan page for your business. The same thing with Twitter. And with WordPress and Blogger, the blog sites, make sure your business page is also a blog site. Those are free. There's lots of ways to do free classified ads that promote your business. You can actually, eBay has free classified ads, and I have found that Google likes those, and I can get really front page rankings with a good classified ad for my business. And also, there's free ads online. You can just search it, and a lot of places will do them absolutely free. Craigslist is another one that's free. And so, you know, utilize all the social media and utilize all the free sites. And just as a final thought on that, YouTube is now the second largest search engine that there is. So, you know, you can put you can just take a flip phone or a flip camera and create videos that highlight your product or service and put them on YouTube. And that's another effective way, absolutely free, to promote whatever it is your business is selling.
Excellent. So can you give us an example of how you would use a free classified ad? You mentioned that you've done it to promote your business. So what do you say in a case like that so that they just absolutely let you post about your business on it on, say, eBay without paying for it by just posting an ad?
Actually, if you go to eBay.com, most people think of eBay, of course, as the site where you post your product and then people bid on it and you sell it. And they do charge, a small fee for that. If you go to eBay.com, they also have something on there called the classified section. And I did not know about this until I was just kind of snooping around one day and I came across it. And when you click on the classified tab, it takes you to, it says eBay classified. And just like you would create a pay-per-click ad or an AdWords ad, they give you three lines, and you can actually put the link back to your website, and you can say whatever you want to say. Like if it's your product and you want to say, you sell Barbie dolls, Barbie dolls for sale, special this month, buy one, get one free, click here. And literally, we obviously are very big on internet marketing with keywords, making sure we're tagging, we're saying the exact title we need. But I have seen just great results from it. And Google picks it up, and literally, based upon the keyword title that you use, that free ad gets distributed online. So it isn't just on eBay. It actually becomes a link for your business, and then you can link it right back to your website.
Yeah, and I recently read that Google is actually not ranking sites now if they don't have sufficient backlinks. So that's another wonderful way, thank you, to get some valuable backlinks from high-ranking sites. So definitely I would recommend. I've used Craigslist. It's funny, and I've never thought about eBay, so I learned something new, and I'm going to be over there as soon as I get off the phone.
It's a good one,
This is a good one. So let's talk about other ways of getting more traffic to your website that wouldn't maybe cost a little bit of money, but they wouldn't break the bank.
Well, we are very big into article writing and videos. And video submission is very easy today. Even if you have a webcam on your computer, you can record something, and some of those computer programs like Camtasia say, post to YouTube, and you can just click it. And if you can keyword those videos and even the articles, and the articles don't have to be written at newspaper letter or even at a real editor's place. They just need to be written clearly and concisely and tagged so that Google will recognize it, and that, again, gives you another link to your website.
And
I'll
you
just add that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add that you can actually, some of the sites today, you can spend a little bit of money per month, and actually, whenever you put information about your business, they will send that out to maybe 10 to 15 other sites for you. So there's a lot of efficiency today. I'm thinking of TubeMogul, for example, and it's TubeMogul.com. And you can sign up for an account with them. You can actually get a free account. But if you wanted to do their lowest level commercial account, you can send stuff to, you can send whatever you're posting, whether it's a video or an article or even just whatever, to I think up to about 25 other video social media sites at one time. So it saves you the trouble of actually going in and posting to every single one of them. And there's some of that that's out there. It costs a little bit, but you can actually economize your money pretty fast.
Well, if you think about the time it would take you to go to each site and do it, the smart business person knows that their time is their most valuable asset, so they're going to want to maximize their time by doing things like that. I mean, because 25 sites would take all day to do.
Right.
Whereas
right.
you could, if it costs you, if you, especially if you're doing a lot of videos, which I probably do 5 or 6 a month. So TubeMogul is an excellent tool. So thank you. Thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit more about article writing before we get on to the next question, because you mentioned how important it is, and I absolutely agree. But, you know, with this whole thing coming around with easing articles and some of these article banks and you know, that now they're like, losing rankings because they have so much duplicate content on the web, how would you advise people to write articles? Would you advise them to write, you know, custom articles for each site? Or how could they do that and kind of get around that whole mess of, you know, losing rankings? Because we certainly don't want that to happen to our clients when they go on, you know, and start writing articles all and posting them on every single article bank. Or maybe that is the way to do it.
No, well, tell you the truth, that is the way to do it. Now, we suggest to our clients that they write like a blog, and they post that blog on their site, because blogs are more of a personal testimony, almost like a personal journal. But then you would take that same blog entry and then you would tweak it so it would have more of a marketing component for your business, and you can put that on to different sites.
Well, yeah, the problem with it is what Google has changed is they don't let you do that so much anymore. And what we recommend to people is, whenever you've got solid content, and to tell you the truth, we used to use 50 to 100 article sites. We can't do that anymore because Google actually shut down quite a few of them, and a lot of them left the first page. So there's about 10 to 15 really solid places, like eHow.com is a really good site.
I love eHow.
eHow, you know, and I'll tell you what we recommend to people is become a contributor or an author to some of those very credible sites. And then whenever you have a good article of content, and maybe it was from a blog, like Tony Lee said, just be careful not to overload the keywords. They're getting real picky about, you know, anytime they think you're stuffing the article with nonsense. we're always about the value of the information. And if it's a valuable information to the consumer, that's what they want, not a bunch of junk that's trying to just constantly sell, you know, a product or service. So we actually really appreciate the changes Google made because we saw a lot of competitors, you know, beating us out of the rankings whenever a lot of it was, we felt like was just not good quality information.
Well, and I see a lot of people using those private label right articles, and then if everybody's buying the same articles, and they're not even bothering to change the titles, you could
right.
Because I do that once in a while just to see what's out there. I was writing a series of articles about creating a website, and so I was looking to see what was already out there so I could try to make mine different, and I couldn't believe this one article, it had to be on 40 sites verbatim.
Right.
The same.
Yep.
No, we knew it was a PLR article. It had to be because it had different
right.
people's names on it.
Private
right. label rights, for those who don't know. So
exactly.
then,
right.
so then, would you recommend that they? Because what I tell people is change the title, change the first paragraph, and as you said, don't stuff it with keywords. Don't you know? Just use like three main keywords throughout or three key phrases,
right.
and that's so important. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. So then let's, and I don't know a whole lot about analytics, so I'd really love your viewpoint on this. How can we use the analytics and metrics to drive business to our site?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I think a lot of people today are looking for measurement, and you need to see what's really working effectively. And, you know, you're probably familiar with it, but, you know, obviously Google Analytics is kind of the mainstay of what people use. And I love Google Analytics. We put it on all of our stuff and all of our clients' websites. But there's also a lot of other good free sites out there, like Alexa.com. And we use that one. We use there's another good site that's called DIY, for like do-it-yourself, SEO.com, DIYSEO.com. And those two, for example, whenever you just use their free service and type in the website domain or URL, they start giving you information about that site and how many backlinks or how much traffic, different visits. They give you a little bit of different flavor of information than even Google Analytics. And what we start looking at in terms of how to use it effectively in driving other traffic is that it lets us know more information about our competitors, like DIY SEO, really lets us know about our competitors and what they're doing. And sometimes I go in and look at the competing websites that maybe I didn't even realize was kind of hand-to-hand in what maybe I'm doing or one of our clients are doing. And I can look at what they're doing, maybe get some ideas even. You know, we kind of do that in terms of maybe they've got different special offers. Maybe they're beating me out with some of the keywords. I'm looking at how they're effectively doing it. And I hate to use the word stealing, but we do kind of share and learn from our competitors. That's just kind of the way business is. And we do want to adopt kind of some of those things that they're doing successfully. So some of these websites, when it comes to the analytics and the metric part of it, I use that to look at my competition. On the other hand, I also use, like Alexa.com gives me a lot of good information about my competitors' keywords. And also the keywords that's getting traffic to my site. And I really do start looking at, am I phrasing things right? Am I missing some opportunities with maybe some of the words that aren't getting, you know, the most traffic or the most hits? And I'm able to then adjust whether it's in tagging videos, tagging articles, tagging something, even the free ad, to, again, drive traffic. So what I tend to do in the metric side is I create a report that has Google Analytics, Alexa, and a few other websites that then give me kind of a statistical analysis week by week, month by month. And then I take that information, which a lot of people just don't want to spend the time on, to be honest, but you take that information and you start to drill down to, okay, what's working, what isn't working. Where are my opportunities to now bring in new business or bring in more business? And sometimes that just goes back to what's really happening on the website, where is it coming, where is it coming from? So a long answer to, you know, a little bit of a complicated system, but if you really want to make something work, you kind of have to dig into what's going on behind the scenes.
And my guess is that most people could care less, including the people
right.
on the websites. So
right.
That's why there are companies like Media for Women who can help people who
right.
are looking for that kind of service, because I certainly could tell you that I wouldn't have one client who'd want to do it, and I'm sure that
right.
most of the people that hire you, it's because that's what you're an expert in. So, but it's good to know. I mean, I think that the most important value of things like these type of seminars is that you know what you need to know. Doesn't mean you have to do it yourself, but you
right.
need to know so you can have an intelligent conversation with someone. The days of just turning everything over to a stranger are gone, unless you're a big corporation. Small businesses need to be empowered with the knowledge, because otherwise that's how you get taken advantage of, or you don't get the what you really need in your business. So thank you, ladies, so much for being here. I know we have a lot more questions, but in case I forget to thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. In one article, I want to change gears a little bit here. In one article you wrote, you say, it's not just how many friends, et cetera, but how you use them in internet marketing. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Well, you know, on Facebook, everything's about becoming a friend and or a fan. And Tony Lee actually talks about this a lot, because we can have a lot of friends and we can just keep it completely social, and that's great. But in business, you know, as you develop the relationship with friends, or followers on Twitter, whoever it may be, or even subscribers to your blog, what you want to also do is share information about your business and businesses, and look at ways to work together, and look at ways to promote each other and support each other. And that's what's so great about webinars like this and information that you're providing for your audience. Because we can be friends and have coffee, but whenever you can really take information that each person has and then share it together to help others and to help your business, that's what we mean by using internet marketing beyond just kind of talking about, you know, your favorite restaurant. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just, yeah.
And we are living in the information sharing and knowledge sharing, I think, era, as a matter of fact. I think that that's really what people, and that's why people are on the internet to begin with. I think it's because they want to learn. They want to find the answers to their questions. They might want to find people. Whatever they want to find, they can find it on the internet. So it's pretty amazing.
Right.
So then, Bobby or Tony Lee, whichever, what can go wrong in internet marketing when it's not executed properly?
Go ahead, Tony Lee.
Well, first of all, if you don't have a system that has like QuickTime and even all the video players, you could end up in a lot of trouble because you want to represent yourself the best that you can. So your website needs to be up to date. It has to be current. It has to have those social media sites from Twitter to Facebook, even the little icons of blog. For a while, we changed our blog word button to a W, and no one knew what the W stood for. Well, we knew it stood for WordPress, which is a blog, but you have to make sure that the people who are coming to your site understands how to use it, and it also shows them what you do. We see that a lot even with the videos. Videos are wonderful for Google rankings, but if you're not clearly saying what you're selling or who you are and why you're doing this, you're not going to have the response that you really are looking for when you're online.
Oh, I would absolutely agree.
Yeah, in internet marketing, there's a lot of, you know, I'll tell you, you can get shut down, like Google can shut down places. I actually put a an ad campaign together and was doing a little bit of pay-per-click AdWords campaign with Google not long ago. And I got a response back from Google that they had temporarily at least paused the campaign because I didn't use the proper capitalization. And I thought, wow. I mean, there's so many things that you can set up and get out there and do. And I've had social media sites just say, and I get an email, and they'll say, your content had something we think that was copyrighted. And, you know, we don't use any music or pictures or anything if we don't buy it and license it. So sometimes I'm just kind of like, all right. And so it's, you know, internet marketing does have a, I'm glad that there's a lot of stringent parameters, but at the same time, you have to be careful or you can wake up and go, wow, what happened to my campaign or what am I doing wrong and not even know that, you know, it was closed out. So I think we do have to stay on top of it and really stay involved with it on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's hard for a person who has a website to do that, and that's why companies like, you know, your company, which is mediaforwomen.com, help people so that you, because that's your job. That's what you do. We want to come up with maybe the ideas, or we want to have the products for sale, but we don't necessarily want to go out there and we don't want to be able to promote it, although it's important that people know how to promote their own sites. It's good to know that there are people who can help them in such a way that they'll get the right kind of results that they want, not end up, as you said, you know, in the delete file or,
well,
you know, worse, banned from Google. My goodness, would that
right.
be terrible?
It happens. Yeah.
I know. I've had a lot of people I've known it's happened to.
Yeah, we've had a lot of clients come in and say to us, can you teach me how to keep my website current? Can you teach me how to make the changes? And we'll say, yes, we can totally set you up on a website that you can do it all yourself. And they turn around and say to us, well, we just wanted to hear that we could do it, but we don't want to. We'll let you do it. It is true.
That's
it's true.
Right.
We know what we're good at, and we want to stick with what we're good at, but we don't want to feel like we're being foolish.
Yeah, right.
So as long as it's our choice, we're okay with it.
Exactly. That's funny. You know, ladies, I'd like to talk a little bit more about social media. We kind of glossed over that in the friends question, but I just want to have another question. The power of social media is in the plan of attack, a plan that involves the hundreds of social networks and the information that must be submitted through them. So how do you create a strategy for that attack, or for want of a better word, that plan?
Well, we've actually put something together, and we've pretty much are branding this new phrase, and we started it about 2 weeks ago. It's called Social Media Atomics, and Social Media Atomics kind of sums up our strategy, and it's about a tenfold strategy, believe it or not, that involves using social media in every possible fashion. There's the top five social media sites are Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and WordPress. And we call them our top five. We work with them a lot in terms of automation. We have a system that automates updates, you can imagine, which is so amazing because literally we can schedule on a calendar updates and have them just automatically performed to all of those sites. We also have a whole strategy for web presence development, Web 2.0 development. We have strategies for mobile texting on phones, email blasts, coupon creations for special offers, lead page captures and things like that, all types of SEO that goes into every possible marketing avenue, from the website to videos to articles. So in our social media atomic strategy, we're able to work with clients, sit down and show them all the avenues we're working on. And we use 50 to 100 video and social media sites in that strategy. And we actually have a team of people who work for us who single-handedly go in and set up those accounts for that particular business. And so it's a lot of labor, but the results for our clients organically means they don't pay outside of, you know, just our services. The value is incredible. So we're working with several general managers, doctors, corporations now that we're starting to really use this with, and they've been spending thousands of dollars a month on pay-per-click campaigns. and what we're able to do organically, they're very surprised. But it does work.
And organic results are so much better. You're going to have so much better long-term, if that's what you want in your website, long-term relationships through those organic searches too, I think.
Right.
So,
that's right.
So good. Well, that's wonderful. So what are the difference between social networking for fun and running a business based heavily on internet marketing?
Well, when you think of how Facebook first started, I have three teenagers, and they will tell me that it's not a fact unless it was posted on Facebook. So their whole social life and who's going to prom and where the homecoming pre-party is all based on a real social media platform, and it is on Facebook. Well, what happened was the internet marketer said, hey, these people on Facebook, they're right there. It is an immediate response, and they have their friends, and it's all word of mouth. Let's get in on this. So what happened was we started having adults come onto Facebook, and we know that the age that's growing the fastest on Facebook is women who are between 55 and 65. So the marketers started getting on Facebook and started posting things about their product, like, I just read this great book, or I saw this great movie. Well, then it started going into services about counselors. And so the next thing you know, Facebook started recognizing that, and instead of continuing down this social media friendship thing, we ended up seeing fan pages be developed. So in both the Facebook friend page and fan page, we're able to market our services and our products and do it in a way that has become more about credibility because we know each other as friends than actually promoting it like you would see like McDonald's or Burger King on the commercials.
Absolutely. In fact, we were just, before you came on the line, I was having that same conversation with Regina about that. And, you have to develop the relationships, especially when people don't see eye to eye and they're not able to shake hands in person. They have
right.
to get to know you in some fashion. And that's why I love Facebook, because you can do that before you even sell a thing. You know, people, once they start following you and you start having conversations, then you know that you've got, you know, not only a friend for life, but think about every place you go and you ask for a referral, like a restaurant or a dry cleaner. Who do you call? You call a friend. So if you think about it, Facebook is the same thing. You're asking
yes.
people for those kind of referrals, and you trust them because you've developed that relationship. So, yeah, I agree with you. How do we determine our internet marketing strategy? Because, as you said, there's the big five. You have all of these tools, 100-plus video and social media sites that you do, and this tenfold social media atomics, tenfold strategy. I mean, my goodness, how do we determine our internet marketing strategy, especially if we don't have someone like MediaForWomen.com to help us?
Well, I'll tell you, what we do is, and we tell this to everybody, you need to step back in your business and look at what your goals are for your business. And whenever we meet with the client and we start talking about the marketing strategy for them, we want to identify and help them identify where do you want to go. Like, in other words, in 6 months, where do you want to be with your business? Are you wanting to increase sales of your products? Are you wanting to increase your exposure to your audience and be able to measure that? Or are you wanting to brand something maybe on a national campaign level? So it really starts with any person who's listening kind of with a business, where do I want to end up? And we tell people what we work on is we start with a three-month beginning strategy where we start setting this stuff up for them. And it takes a couple, 3 months to get everything set up. And as we're setting it up, we're also starting with maybe the first couple of videos. We're checking out their website to make sure it's tagged right. We kind of spend the first 3 months laying the foundation. The next 3 months, then we start kicking off the marketing strategy in terms of if they have a product, we need to do a special offer. Let's get that call to action on the website. We're going to drive people to the website. So we'll create coupons. We'll start sending those out through the social media networks. So that may be the next 3 months that we now want to increase sales. And so we try to plan things out 3 months and chunks of 3 months at a time. Most of our clients go 3 to 6 months and then evaluate where they are to go the next 6 months. If someone wants to do this on their own, I would say, hey, you know, sit down, look at where your goals are, what do you want to achieve. Take those first, the big five, spend the time it takes to really set those up, get a couple of videos under your belt, and make sure your website has a call to action on it, and just start letting people know about your business. And at the least, you know, it's not the tenfold strategy, but at least it's a place to start.
Yeah, what I have found with a lot of the gals that come in, our business started because a lot of women over 35, we were not raised with laptops on our desks. So this whole computer online world is like a foreign language. It's like needing to learn something that our kids just automatically got, but we have to keep training ourselves and retraining ourselves. So a lot of women that come in, what we suggest, if they're not going to do a plan with us, because we are kind of like the super atomic thing, you know, we're ready to go, we suggest that they blog once a week. At least, like, put it on a calendar. Every Thursday, I'm going to blog. And then to do Facebook, try to do an entry once a day. And then once they can get that down, then go down to Twitter. And you really should put something on Twitter 3 times a day, even if it's the same thing. You just want to be able to keep reminding people there's a call to action and that you're out there, that you're relevant, you're current, and also you're personable. And so if you just stuck with blogging, Facebook, and Twitter, if you don't have any other plan but you just got that into your schedule, you're going to start seeing your comfort level with the internet increase, and then you're going to have the confidence to go forward and do more things.
Absolutely. Great advice. So then let's talk, I know we're almost out of time, so I just have a couple more questions, ladies. What are the 5 things not to have on your website? Because you talked about, you know, having a call to action and videos and all of that. So what are some of the things that you would say we should not have on our website?
Well, number one, try not to have your website look like what we say it looks like a newsletter. So one thing is, try not to have too much text. We are a society today that, especially with Twitter, with 140 characters, you know, we don't want to read a lot. So we tell people, try to keep, you know, your home page especially to a paragraph or two if you're going to put some writing on it. And Google does want writing, but not so much writing. The second, that would be one, not too much text. Number two, one thing we've learned from Google is, don't make a website that is all flash. A total flash website does not allow Google spiders to crawl it. In other words, it doesn't pick up keywords effectively. So if your website is all flash and it's just constantly flashing or has a lot too much movement on it, sometimes that turns people off. And the worst part about it is that it doesn't really get you the rankings you would want just with the keywords. That's number two. Number three is really don't use bad-looking graphics. You know, when you look at a website and the graphics look like they're clip art, and, you know, you can tell it was put together, maybe homemade. And you know, there's nothing wrong with homemade websites at all. But you don't want it to look like it's outdated. So anything that dates your website, especially certain fonts that we don't use much anymore, certain, you know, things like that. So that would be number three, is just really cheap-looking graphics. Number four would be similar to that but different in the sense that bad color schemes. And, you know, there's some certain websites we look at and we go, oh, you know, these are so bland, it doesn't pop, or it's so dark, it has a message that's almost too stark. And so bad color schemes. And today there's great templates that people can look at and get really good, you know, options for that. But the bad color schemes, and then, TL, did you have any? The last one I was going to say is don't have too much pop-ups. You know those annoying pop-ups that when you're trying to look at a website, something keeps coming up or moving or, you know, chasing across the screen. Anything that's annoying us on a website, we're just going to turn it off. We're going to leave that site. So it's a balance of the right amount of text, the right amount of flash. There should be some flash, but not total flash. The right amount, balance of good graphics, good colors, and just overall not making the website annoying. You know, so
I agree.
Those are kind of our top five.
Well, and you'll know if it's annoying if you go to a website and you say, oh, I don't like this, and you just leave. Even if the information
exactly.
was really good, you know, believe me, we all have those. I hate
That's
those
right.
pop-up boxes that bounce and bounce and bounce
right.
and bounce, and you got to try to catch it to get the closed box. It's a dart thing. You know, those are the ones that
right.
annoy me the most. The drop-down and pop-up boxes are not as bad because we're so used to them. But I just wait
right.
till they disappear or close them. But those ones that bounce, it's like they're doing
I
it
know.
On purpose to get you not to be
right.
able to click on them. And I hate those.
Right.
Anyway, and I don't really hate too much, but those are one of the most annoying things to me. Anyway, so ladies, what question would you like to answer that hasn't been asked?
Go ahead, Jill.
I can't think of anything right now. I'm trying to think through. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, okay, I'll ask. I think for today, a lot of people today either let the economy scare them from maybe stepping out and doing something, or they're unsure. The internet can be very scary, and people don't know where to kind of either get started, and they don't know who to trust. And we started this business as women because we literally, to be honest, like a lot of people out there, spent too much money on the wrong things that did not give us a return, whether it was the $20,000 website or the $40,000 book. I mean, unfortunately, we kind of have learned lessons the hard way. And it is hard to know who to trust out there today. And we tell people when we offer free consultations, people can call us at any time, either on the phone or in person. We're in San Diego, but we meet with people every week. And there are times we say to people, you know, you're not ready. Here's what you need to do. Go home and really think about what you want to do with your new business and how to plan it. And our goal is to help educate people so that a person can make those decisions on their own without just feeling like, oh, my goodness, I have to just turn my whole idea over to somebody I don't know. And we want to be that resource for people that certainly we have the tools to help them and we are in business to help them. But at the end of the day, we will turn people away if we don't feel like they're ready, because it's not, you know, we know the value of hard-earned money, and whenever someone's getting ready to start a business, you really need to know that you've got a good 12 to 18 months that you can invest in that business and be prepared to really get it going. And especially with online marketing, it takes time. Boy, don't I wish I could say, oh, by next month you're going to be selling everything online. It just takes time. And so that would be my final word to people is, you know, educate yourself, learn all that you can, work with good companies. Don't throw all your eggs in one basket immediately. Plan on that time and take your time in getting started.
Excellent. Great advice, Bobby and Tony Lee. Tell us a little bit about your services.
Our services are on our website at media4women.com, and we help women and men, actually, because it started with women, and then they would bring their husbands in after, and then the next thing you know, now we're doing corporations and large businesses, too. But what our goal is for people is to get them started, to get launched in a business. So we will help with websites, with videos, with article submission, with book publications, social media. We have people who just sit in our office and all day follow people on Twitter or do Facebook entries all day long, just until the person becomes comfortable with it themselves. Because our goal really is to empower the person, not for them to be completely dependent on us. We do feel like it's their business, and we want to support them to be successful in it. We also do business plans, and we help, you know, sometimes I feel like my main job is cheerleader, just really trying to encourage people to keep going and that it does take time and that they're on the right path. It's amazing how many thoughts you have when you're first getting started in something, and it seems like you continue to grow outward instead of going forward. So our goal really is to help the person, the client, the business to continue going forward and what their goals are instead of adding to it, thinking, well, it's not working because it's not fast enough. Our goal is just to encourage them to keep going.
Excellent. So what's the best way to contact you?
MediaForWomen.com, they can just, there's a contact tab right there on the website. And then we also have a toll-free number that is very busy, but a lot of people call us and get in touch with us all over the country, and that's 800-992-0369, and that number is also on the website.
Well, ladies, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with us and sharing what to do to achieve success in internet marketing. You've been listening to Toni Lee Adamson and Bobby Brooks of MediaForWomen.com. This is Heidi Richards Mooney from Women in E-commerce and We Magazine for Women, www.wemagazineforwomen, saying thank you for joining us today. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Heidi.